Hey, welcome back, everybody. It's time once again for the Real World of Sales, the one show, the only show that shows you the wildest people doing the most amazing things. If they can sell these things, you can sell your stuff, too. That's the theory behind the show. Let's see what we're going to deliver today. We've got Ashley B., our sales coach, Ashley B., is with us. Hey, Ashley.
Hey, Paul. How's it going?
Who's your sponsor this week? You got a new sponsor every week. You have had all sorts of interesting people. You had a Laotian restaurant. You've had vodka or something here, a tequila or something.
Yes.
Who is it this week?
So this week we have Rimon. It's a top Korean beauty product company. So they make all kinds of amazing skincare, and they have really great hair products too, cosmetics, and it's all vegan, natural. And the skincare products, it will help your skin to become more smooth, get rid of your wrinkles, and protect your skin from the sun and all kinds of different environmental factors that we face nowadays. And you can go to their website, Riman.com. You can check out their beauty products there. They have representatives. I know one, Brian. You can let me know if you're interested. If you have any questions, want to shop, I can get you in touch with him. They also hire, they're looking for outside sales reps that want to work for them and sell their beauty products too and get the word out.
I got to go down the rabbit hole for 1 second. We're mostly business channel.
Mm-hmm.
The World Korean Business Council or whatever has this giant convention they normally do in Korea to showcase businesses who and hopefully people come over. They want to partner to manufacture. They want to partner to import export. Maybe you want to bring your stuff in, or maybe you want to import their stuff in. First time ever, it was last week in Anaheim. They took it out, filled up the whole Anaheim Convention Center. They're here talking about it. And then I said, what do they bring from Korea? What is it everybody specializes? You know, not just electronics and Hyundai and cars and all this stuff. What's the thing? If I'm going to see the mom and pop people and the hundreds of booths they had there, they said hair care, our beauty products, number one.
Huge market to bring in.
Huge in Korea, and there's a number of companies doing
that. They have really good products.
Really good products. So there you go.
Yep, definitely. So check it out.
You got... Every week, Ashley, I say, this is the wildest show you've ever done. Naked and Afraid, Magicians on America's Got Talent. Today, Elvis is in the building.
Oh, yeah. That's right. Elvis Presley, everyone.
I thought he was, king. I thought he died, but he's here. He looks pretty good.
He came back.
Alive and well in Irvine, California, baby. Thank you very much.
All right. That's awesome.
I'm sorry. It's when I wear the suit, the voice kind of comes out sometimes.
I think it does.
Yeah, that's gossip.
Well, here's the craziest thing of all. Scott and I actually know each other from another life. I didn't expect.
Oh my gosh.
I didn't associate the name. He worked with my wife at a bank.
Wow.
He was a branch manager.
It's such a small world. Oh my gosh. Working with Elvis. How cool is that?
Yeah. Right. And I saw how strange, because I knew he did Elvis impersonate. Like, he's a serious banker by day, and then he's a wild Elvis impersonator at night here. I got to hear pulls this trick off, and which is the real him. But anyway, I'll let you guys continue. I just had to throw that out.
Okay, so Elvis, we're going to call you Elvis today, okay? So
that's just fine. That's great.
Well, introduce him at least who he is so people can find him. Give him his name here first.
Elvis, a.k.a. Scott Robertson.
There you go.
All right. So why don't you tell us, you know, where you're from and how you got started in this business? Like, how did you become an Elvis fan?
Okay. Yeah, it's kind of an interesting journey, a story that I went on. And I'm from right here in Southern California. Grew up in Orange County.
Nice.
And I was, from a young kid, I was always... even when Elvis was still alive and I was a young kid in the 70s, I was a fan of Elvis, and I would listen to the records, and that was kind of my favorite music at the time. And then as I got older, you know, a lot of my other favorite things, the Beatles and just a lot of different things I would listen to and sing along to. Mm-hmm. And I just kind of had a knack for, developed a knack for sort of imitating people a little bit and sounding like them and getting in the same type of style as they do.
So you practiced it a lot to talk like Elvis?
Well, where that came about was, I was always a musician. And in high school, I played in a marching band and all that, and I was kind of a closet singer. But after that, I was actually served in the Marine Corps. And I was over in, I served in Desert Storm over in Saudi Arabia and Kuwait. And one of the just silly things that happened, there's a lot of time that you're just, you know, downtime goofing around with you know, nothing to do. So I started talking like Elvis a lot. And it was just
cool. So you started entertaining everyone there.
So, yeah, I was sort of entertaining people with the Elvis voice, and I would sing a little bit sometimes.
Okay, cool, cool.
And then on the way home, when we were coming back to the United States, somebody convinced me to sing on the loudspeaker for a whole 747 full of Marines.
Okay.
So that was...
I can picture that. Like, that just seems so, like, awesome and funny at the same time.
So... Yeah, and then when, you know, just people sort of kind of heard me by accident singing and, you know, entertaining, doing some karaoke kind of things, and I got some encouragement about it, and then it turned out to be, you know, it's something that actually my wife and I developed into a business that, you know, we've been doing for, you know, over 20 years now.
So then after that experience, then you decided to make it a business, you and your wife, and do the Elvis impersonation. Okay. All right. Cool. Cool. So how did you start your business? Like, what kind of shows and gigs did you start doing?
Well, you know, I was playing with some other, you know, I was doing some restaurants and things like that and playing with some other people and really kind of, you know, relying on them. But then once... you know, once my wife and I got together and we started thinking, well, hey, you know, we can, you know, you don't need anybody else to do this. You can, you can do it on your own and we can do it together. And, you know,
does she sing with you?
She doesn't sing with me. She actually, she's very involved in the business from, she does a lot of the booking and arranging things.
Okay.
And she also is, she works with me as sort of my sound technician. And
that's important.
Sound, lighting. She actually even picks the songs a lot of the times when we're performing.
Okay. What's your favorite Elvis song?
Well, I think my sentimental favorite Elvis song, and I think it's a lot of people's, I mean, I even sang it to my wife right before I proposed to her, was Can't Help Falling
How sweet.
In Love. Can't Help Falling in Love.
Wow. That's a great one. That's a great one. Could you sing a bit of it for us?
Sure. I'd love to.
Okay. Let's hear.
Wise men say only fools rush in, but I can't help falling in love with you. Shall I stay? Would it be a sin? For I can't help falling in love with you.
Woo! Oh my gosh, that was so good.
Oh, thank you, Ashley.
Yeah, oh my God, I love it. That was amazing. Wow, that is so cool. Did you have, so, I mean, that is a lot of skills right there, a lot of talent. So, and you have to practice all the songs when you do shows? Or you do just like freelance like that?
Yeah, and a lot of these songs I've sang so many times. That,
okay, nice.
I mean, they're like part of my, you know, they're ingrained in my memory. But
cool.
I do learn, you know, I do have to learn new songs and I add things to the repertoire because I don't just do Elvis, actually.
Oh, okay.
But,
so who else do you do?
Well, you know, and I... Sometimes I kind of shy away from calling myself an Elvis impersonator. I'm actually, I call myself a singer that is known for doing a Elvis tribute. But I do everything from, you know, my show is typically more of a variety show with an Elvis tribute in the middle of it. But I do everything from Frank Sinatra to Dean Martin and Bobby Darin and Johnny Cash. And
that's so good. Oh, my gosh.
I do a lot of Neil Diamond.
Okay.
Type of music.
What kind of parties do you do? Like weddings, events?
Yeah, I've done weddings, anniversaries, birthday parties.
Nice.
You know, pretty much any type of event imaginable that you can think of where people gather and have some kind of entertainment.
Okay. Yeah, no, that sounds great. So you can do parties for anybody in the area, pretty much, any events. Okay. And what's the top event that you've entertained for?
I've done a lot of birthday parties.
Okay.
Like a lot of really nice birthday parties.
Like for like really rich people?
Yeah, actually, that's one of the cool things of being able to do this. I've met a lot of people that are, you know, I guess you could say wealthy, especially in Orange County here.
And, yeah,
I've done a lot of events that were really nice that, you know, were really classy.
That's great. Yeah, I'm sure, you know, it's a lot of fun. And that's a really good business. So how do you promote yourself? Like, what kind of sales strategies do you use?
Well, typically when I have an event that the public is able to go to, like a restaurant or club or something like that, you know, usually the restaurant or whatever, that we'll provide them with some advertising and flyers and things that they can use.
Okay.
And then I will typically, I have an email list that I've gathered through the years of over 1,000, you know, email contacts. Mm-hmm. I'll send out a blast email to let people know when and where I'll be playing. We'll also put it up on, you know, my wife will typically put it up on Facebook as well, and people will catch it that way.
Cool. Nice. Social media is, that's really important, I think, for businesses, especially nowadays.
And then really most of my private party work is by word of mouth or people that have seen me perform and just, you know, have approached me about wanting to do their event.
Okay, sure. Yeah, word of mouth is definitely always good for business. And what's your website? How can people contact you?
Well, people can contact me at my website, ocelvis.com. Okay. And you know, my there's a schedule of events on there. There's some pictures and things. There's a way to contact me through there. Send an email. You know, our phone numbers are on there. You're welcome to call. Send us an email. Pretty much anything. We'd love to talk to you.
All right. There you have it, guys. So make sure you contact Scott O.C. Elvis for your next party and event.
I got to jump in and just, normally I stay quiet in these things here, but I got to jump in because I find it so bizarre, so unbelievable. How do you balance? You have a real career. I mean, you're like a successful banker here in Orange County here. And how do you manage that? Does the bank mind you doing this? Does the bank know you do this? Does the I think they do because my wife worked for the same bank and everybody knew what you did and would turn out and watch this. Yeah.
Yeah. Everybody pretty much knows it's, you know, I'm sort of famous or infamous for it, but, yeah. And it's kind of, it's good that I get to run my own branch because I sort of get, you know, a little bit of leeway of being the boss.
Yeah.
But it's kind of, I have to be really careful because I really try to not interfere with my day job to do my night job. But we always joke around.
So you don't go to the bank as Elvis?
Typically not.
Don't think so. I don't think the branch manager should show up as Elvis here. But you do have the sideburns all the time.
Yeah. And, you know, and and people that don't know what I do, like customers and things, they come in and I know they wonder, like, you know, what's
you do,
going on
because you
with
look
that.
Like
you got the 70s look here. Yeah, right.
Yeah, and then, like, are you in a rockabilly band or, you know, something like that?
Nice, yeah, yeah.
But,
I can see that.
A lot of my customers have actually seen me perform, though, because I work right next to a big mobile home park, big community there, and I've actually performed there for their community a few times. So a lot of people there actually know me as their banker and as Elvis.
And do people ever do a double take? They see you? Because it's two totally different worlds. I mean, completely opposite ends. Banking's very serious and somber, and then you're out performing and wild and silly and crazy and stuff here. Do people see you in one world and then suddenly go, oh, my God, that's my banker? Or they come back the other way and they say, I saw you perform and you're at the bank here too? I mean, they must run into you sometimes and try and reconcile these two here.
Yes, as a matter of fact, that's happened a lot. And I shock people because I am pretty reserved and, you know, professional as a banker. And then we joke that I'm a banker by day, performer by night. And I think it might have something to do with me being a Gemini.
Is that your split personality here?
So I have that split personality of, you know, I get to be both sides of it and kind of separate it.
Have you ever done any bank functions? Because I know, actually, my wife has a number of women at the bank. She took me to see you. I think they went and saw you some other place recently. I mean, you have a following within this band. I don't know if you should name the bank, and we'll leave it at blank or whatever if you want to mention it. But it's a big bank, and lots of branches here in Southern California. And I would think a lot of them, you got a lot of fans and followers within that organization.
Yeah, I've actually had. I mean, I've gotten bank business from.
From being Elvis.
From being Elvis, and I've gotten
Elvis business from being
Elvis business from being a banker. It's a lot of fun. I have fun with the difference.
Does the bank ever, though, say, I mean, it hasn't hindered your rise in the bank, your branch manager. Has the bank ever said, hey, just, you know, we don't care what you do on your own time, but, you know, keep it separate or hamper? Or did they think it's fun? And, yeah, why don't you perform at the employee party or something?
Actually, they think it's fun. And I have done bank events. I've done, you know, different things. And it's U.S. Bank, by the way.
I'll okay, good. All right, well, we'll give a shout out to U.S. Bank. Absolutely.
US so
Bank.
You can get loans from you guys, too, then.
Yeah.
From Elvis.
Yeah, exactly.
You can come into your banking with Elvis.
Oh, thank awesome, you. Do you awesome. Say thank? I think thank you very much after you done.
Yeah, sometimes I have to throw that in. You know, thank you very much.
Nice. Have you been to like Memphis? Have you met the family for Elvis?
I have not actually been to Graceland. Shame on me.
Really? Oh my gosh.
I plan to go there sometime, but I have actually met Elvis's stepbrother.
Oh, okay. Yeah, Priscilla Presley's son. She has a son.
No, this was.
His father had a
yeah, Vernon's
different. Had a couple of kids.
Vernon's wife's son. Yeah.
Okay.
Because I think his parents were his mom.
Oh, his mom passed away. Yeah.
Yeah, and then Vernon, his dad, got remarried and had other kids.
I didn't know that. Okay, so he had stepbrothers then.
Yeah. So I met him quite a few years ago.
And okay.
He wrote a book.
How was it? Was he like Elvis, or like did he tell you stuff about him? Any cool stories or anything? I mean that you.
Well, I actually performed in front of him, which was kind of weird.
Nice.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
And I think he liked it. But he wrote a book about kind of the spiritual side of Elvis, so I think that was pretty neat.
Do you ever go to, there are Elvis impersonator conventions. We've seen them in movies and stuff here. We've seen all sorts of things. There are huge gatherings of Elvis impersonators, apparently, that come back annually to Vegas. Have you ever done that? Or?
No, actually, I don't know if it's bad to say, but I kind of stay away from that stuff.
Yeah. Okay.
But I think, like, but you'd be strategy. With other people who have similar passion for this performer and work it either into their act as part of their act or that is their full-time act, that you might be a connection there. Because it's a whole world. I mean, from what I've seen on TV, we've all seen the famous thing. They're every color, race, size, everything. They don't necessarily look like Elvis, but they all dress up as Elvis and they... This guy, I can't think of another performer, maybe Sinatra, where people still continue to perform in his likeness.
Yeah. I think
Marilyn Monroe, maybe.
I think what it is, it partly is that I want to honor Elvis, and, you know, I bring a little bit of myself to it, but I want to honor Elvis, and I do think to some extent some of those people become a little bit of a caricature of Elvis.
Oh,
and
someone, that's why they're doing it.
And
it's almost like,
I never wanted to come off as like a clown kind of thing. So that's why I sort of just kind of like, hey, I do my own thing. Elvis is part of it. But.
So I got to bring up one more thing. I'm sorry to keep asking questions here, but isn't there a place in Garden Grove? Didn't we go see you at a place in Garden Grove? I thought there's some bar that's been there 100 years. Maybe it's not there anymore. And that's what they were known for. They had lots of Elvis.
Yeah, I think they still do that. It's still there in Garden Grove.
Yeah, I don't remember the name of the bar, but it's like an old bar in downtown Garden Grove. And that's their shtick, is that they've had Elvis impersonators forever.
Yeah, they're famous for
that. That's awesome. Yeah. I'll have to check it out. I've never been there. You go there, or is this
someone else? No, that actually wasn't me that he saw.
Oh, okay. Well, you all look alike because you look like Elvis, right? How do I know?
So how do you compete with these other Elvis, then?
Well, I think the reason that I've been successful is a couple things. Is that you have to have a good product. You know what I mean? You can't
do a bad Elvis.
You have to put a quality product out there, and it doesn't matter how much you advertise it if, you know, people don't like it. So one of the things that people say about me is, you know what? I think you sound the same in front of five people or 500 people.
Okay.
So I always give it the same amount of energy every time. And I put a lot of passion and energy into what I do when I'm doing it, because I want to connect with people and I want to help them feel something, you know, connect to a memory or something that makes them feel good.
Yeah.
And, you know, sometimes when I see people crying because they thought of a special memory or something and it touched them. Like, that's the kind of that's the kind of thing, like, more why I do it than anything else.
So you mean, like, when people are, like, Elvis fans and they remember him, they've seen his movies, CDs, or just hearing his songs at different moments, like weddings and different funerals and parties or events?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, Elvis is kind of such a part of everyone's life.
Yeah, he's an American icon.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Always, yeah.
And I think the other thing that we do is that it should go without saying, but I feel like it's very important to be respectful, courteous, professional.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when you're working with someone, it's not about me and what I want to do. It's about them and their event, how to make them feel special, how to make their event special. Of course, we have a little experience that we can kind of guide them through that. But really, you know, our goal at the end of doing an event is to have the people feel like family.
Okay, that's good.
That's a lot of why that we've been so, you know, I and me and my wife have been so successful, is because we have that reputation of people know that we're going to take care of them and put on, you know, a good quality show, entertain people, make them feel good, and just make it a positive experience.
Right, right. No, I think that sounds really good, because you're not like one of those silly Elvis impersonators or some silly performers or something like that. Like, you guys take it real seriously. Like, this is like important event, you know, like family, friends, everybody's going to be there. So you really want to make sure you take it seriously. So I think that's a good product. Like you said, you know, like the 4 P's of marketing are right there. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's great.
You throw that out and everybody knows the 4 P's.
Oh, I thought everybody knew this. Not everybody went to business school. Okay.
Not everybody went to business school.
Yeah. So 4 P's of marketing are like product, price, promotion, placement.
There you go.
So, I mean, that's important for every business. That's like your key, pretty much, for marketing. So, I think that sounds like a really good business strategy that you guys have there.
I got to ask another fanboy kind of question here. I'm trying to picture the day your wife, your soon-to-be wife, you're dating, you meet her. Does she know you're Elvis, or does that happen later?
She met me when I was doing it.
She did. Okay, so she knew right away.
Okay.
Yeah.
I was performing at a restaurant in Mission Viejo, and she happened to be there. And I think the first thing that she actually ever said to me was, "I'm your biggest fan."
So she was an Elvis fan. Okay.
Well, she wasn't an Elvis fan
yet. She was your friend.
Yeah, she was. I don't think she was an Elvis fan until then.
Oh, okay, nice. Okay, so you got her with Elvis.
Because I can imagine other women, they think you're a banker, and they meet you at a party, or they're set up on a date or something, and then all of a sudden they find this side of you. They might either think it's a kick, or they might think, oh, man, I'm hitting the road. Forget this. Forget this, buddy. And so you found somebody who not only embraced it, but loves it like you do.
Yeah, and I have to say that she really is my biggest fan and biggest supporter. And she still tells me that, yeah, I'm looking forward to going and doing this gig because I want to hear you sing.
Wow. 20 years
that's
later.
That's so sweet. Yeah. Wow. That's like a goal for everybody.
That is. That's fantastic. Hats off to that. Does she ever come dressed as Priscilla? Does she ever want to take on the persona?
Now, that would be nice.
Well, sometimes when we do a theme party or something, she'll dress up. I don't know if she's ever done Priscilla.
But or any of the other, I don't know, Linda Thompson or something. I'm trying to think of Elvis's other girlfriends or something.
Oh, yeah, right.
One thing I do want to shout out, though, is last month we did just celebrate our 20-year wedding anniversary.
Woo, congratulations.
And, of course, you must have done something Elvis-themed, right? Did you do it, or did you just go to Hawaii? And do you ever take it off, or does this become, if I went to your house, do I see Elvis memorabilia? Do you go to Elvis...
I have two teenagers. My house is usually like a a hurricane.
So are they going to, you know, continue on, like, being Elvis too, like you do? Are they huge fans?
They're fans. They really like what I do. It's, mm-hmm. you know, they aren't embarrassed by it. Or
I was going to say, because some kids might be, but oh my God, would you stop doing that?
Oh, my son actually brought a bunch of kids to see my one of my shows not too long ago.
There you go.
So. I think it'd be cool, you know, if your dad looks like Elvis and can, you know, be like Elvis. That's awesome.
But my son, he actually is becoming quite a good guitar player and bass player.
So music's in the family.
Yeah, my daughter plays flute and learned how to play bass.
Okay, awesome. So you guys can make a whole band then.
Yeah, right. There you go. You're going to have a whole rock and roll band here. You'll be the Partridge Family. You have to change the act from Elvis to the Partridge Family.
Yeah, you know what? We might actually do something like that in the future where we do a little something where we perform together.
Yeah.
That would be a kick. Yeah,
that's awesome.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm sorry to jump in, but I'm thinking of all these questions here in my mind here.
Paul, you're like an Elvis fan, huh?
Well, you know, I grew up in that era. My wife, Jan, is a huge Elvis fan.
Did you ever go to his concert or anything?
I almost did once at University of Michigan, and I'm old enough. He was still his last tour. Mm-hmm. He went and toured, and I kind of chickened out because it wasn't cool to go see Elvis in 77. He was
overweight. Oh, my gosh.
It was kind of a last gasp. And I thought, well, I'll never get to see him. But I didn't go. And one of my friends
Paul,
did.
Paul, how
and
can
I,
you
I
do that?
I kicked myself because I thought, you know.
Oh, my gosh.
It wasn't cool to like Elvis.
So was it mostly like girls that went to concerts? The girls had a crush on him?
You know, by that time, Elvis had faded so dramatically. You know,
oh, he was like, you know, getting
heavy.
He's
overweight and he wasn't cool.
Sad.
And, you know, there wasn't. Mm. It wasn't until after his death that there was sort of this revival, I think.
Really?
Interest.
I'm surprised by that.
The Beatles came along. I'll tell you the story. The story I read was, so Elvis did his comeback special. What was that, like 77?
68,
okay. And the guy who produced, this is the story I heard about it. And the guy who produced it was, Elvis was brought to him in, somewhere up in Sunset Boulevard, this guy's office. And Elvis is being very demanding. Well, you know, I'm Elvis and da-da-da-da-da-da. And the guy said, buddy, you're nobody anymore. You're yesterday.
Whoa.
And Elvis said, well, I can't accept that. And he says, I'll tell you what, let's walk out the door right now and see if anybody recognizes. And he says, people will mob me. I will get just attacked. And he said, all right, let's try it. Let's go outside. Walked out down the street. Nobody recognized him.
Oh my gosh.
Oh, my God, I got to get back. You know, I'm living in yesterday. I got to get. Yes, he was famous if you said the word Elvis, but he wasn't. He wasn't the flavor of the day anymore.
Yeah. Well, yeah, he had to stop doing those silly movies.
Silly movies are truly kind of ruined his image for a lot of people. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I heard that he wanted to do like a regular acting, but then his manager wouldn't let him.
He wanted to be in West Side Story real bad. He tried to get in West Side Story, but they wouldn't. They couldn't see the. Not that he couldn't do the part, but they didn't think people would accept him as that.
Yeah, he did. He wanted to be a serious actor, but the Colonel wouldn't let him.
Yeah. Well, I actually. So I'll give you my little one Elvis story. I didn't never met Elvis, but the guy who was my mentor, I was an entertainment publicist starting off in life when I came here. So I represented Johnny Mathis and the Police and a whole bunch of other people I worked with, or the company I worked with did. And the guy who was my mentor in the business got to meet and know the Colonel a little bit. And once asked him, you know, because the Colonel not only controlled him, he took 50%. No manager in history ever took 50%.
That's a lot.
And so this guy's name was Tom Masters. He asked him once, he said, come on, Colonel, you know, how do you justify that? And he said, he basically said, I'm paraphrasing, I took a kid from nobody and I made him somebody. Would you give me 50%? You know, what's the choice? You know, he could be back in small town Mississippi or I turned him into somebody.
Now, oh my gosh.
I don't know that it was all the Colonel,
but
the Colonel had a lot of it. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Controlled him.
That's sad. I think that really, you know, made him depressed. Like I heard that Elvis was doing drugs and he was like, he missed going to church and having like that simple life in a way because he got all caught up in everything.
Well,
and
he
drama.
Got caught up in making like the movies. I don't think he enjoyed making the movies, but the movies made a ton of money. So it was hard to say no.
I see.
And then it kind of turned him from into a kind of a clown and not into a serious performer, serious actor anymore here.
But it helped him promote his songs, though. Being in those movies, singing them.
Some of the movies were pretty corny.
I like the Viva Las Vegas.
Viva Las Vegas.
Yeah, everybody likes that one.
With Anne Margaret, yeah.
That was good. So if Elvis was here right now, what would you say to him?
Oh, that's a good question.
That's a good question, Ashley.
Yeah.
What would you say to the king? you know, I don't know. I'd be curious to hear what he has to say. What would you say to him?
I guess I would tell him, you know, thank you. You've made a big difference in my life, and you've touched me, and you have helped me touch a lot of people. So, you know, thank you for, you know, the love and the joy that you brought and helped me bring. And, hey, how's it going? You want to watch some football?
Practice some karate moves here?
I know he was a big football fan.
Was he?
I would have probably wanted to check out a football game with him. And
I think he kind of turned into a caricature. And that's what the comeback special and so on. He tried to get back to what he did. At one time, he was the most influential performer in the world. I mean,
he still is. It's crazy.
Well, that 68 comeback special was huge. And then
it showed people he really, you know, he got back to his roots and performed, and people remembered why they loved him. But I think he got caught in the persona, not just making the movies, this is my opinion, but the persona of being Elvis, of being this snarling character. It's like any of these people. You become a caricature of yourself.
Yeah, and I think there was too many people. I think there wasn't anybody around him that would ever tell him no.
Yes, I agree. So it was just a bunch of yes people, and nobody pulled him back from the precipice.
And I think I kind of feel like he was surrounded by a lot of people, but he was pretty lonely.
That's what they say.
Yeah, that can be. That's a good point.
The other thing I would say about the story of Elvis is he was very generous, and he would give like cars to people he'd meet. Casually, somebody that would do something for him, and then suddenly a Cadillac would show up or something.
I heard he even gave his mailman a Cadillac or something like that.
Oh
yeah.
My gosh, how cool is that? And that's why I think even now, like after all these years, he's still so loved by everyone. He's like a huge legend because there's nobody that's had that like. You know, the looks, the personality, the talent, like, you know, the kindness,
everything.
Other than
Sinatra, I can't think of anybody who people continue to keep alive and continue to emulate, where there are performers performing as Elvis or Sinatra. Maybe Sinatra, maybe Jimmy Darin a little bit here, but not. I can't imagine that there's going to be somebody performing as, maybe, but the Rolling Stones or something, as famous as they were.
No, Elvis was just so, like, different. It's like something about him. I mean, he was really hot, obviously. The girls all loved him.
Hold back,
he was a good-looking man, I gotta say.
So, you know, you think about nowadays, like, the singers, you don't really have that. It's just kind of different. And they don't sing the same way. I think he used to sing, you know, playing the guitar, singing all these love songs.
Do you play an instrument when you play, or do you just sing the backup tracks here? Because you're playing in little clubs or something.
Yeah, I'm not usually playing an instrument when I... perform. I have the, you know, backing tracks or MIDI files or things that I use.
Right. Okay. Yeah. Last thoughts. We got to wrap it up here, Ashley. You bring in the most unusual people doing the most incredible things. Banker by day, Elvis, a connoisseur by night here.
Yeah, exactly. That's awesome. So what is it that you want people to really know about Elvis, like from you, what you're doing?
Well, I would just say that I am, you know, I'm just a normal guy, a dad, above anything else, a dad and a husband. But I have this kind of thing that I have this thing that I've been able to do. I've been blessed to be able to sing and, you know, sound like Elvis. And I'd just like to invite everybody to come along for the ride. And
That's right.
And you know, if you have a chance to come and join us for a show, join us for a show.
And what's your website again?
Oh, it's ocelvis.com. You know, I love being around people, entertaining people. I love to meet new people and make new friends. So if I can have if I can make any new friends or connections out of being on the show here with you, Ashley, that would be a fantastic thing.
All right, definitely. Sounds great. So, yeah, everybody go. Make sure you go to ocelvis.com.
And how do they buy your book, Ashley? How do they get your book? It's behind you there.
That's right. My book here, Ferocious Cell Skill. You can find it on Amazon. You can find it on Barnes & Noble, iTunes. You can listen to it or read it. Hardback, paper book. So, yeah, it has really great information and advice and about sales, about marketing for your business, for your job. So check it out and let me know what you think.
Okay, that'll do it. Take us out, Elvis. Give us a little serenade as we go out here.
Let's see. Love me tender, love me sweet, never let me go. You have made my life complete, and I love you so. Love me tender, love me true, all my dreams fulfill. For my darling, I love you, and I always will.